This evening's second reading comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, and verses 17 through 22. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purposes of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. The word of the Lord. Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus is one of the linchpin moments of Christianity. It is a vital event that changed how many of the people of that region thought about God. And the man himself, thousands of years later, continues to inform our Christianity through the 13 books he wrote that make up a large portion of the New Testament. Of course, now we refer to him as Paul. If you've heard me preach before, you've probably heard me talk about Moses and Paul. It's no secret that I find their stories to be sources of comfort and inspiration. And the reason is that they are incredibly human figures. We can relate to Moses because, like many of us, he has an excuse for everything. When God first calls Moses, the man gives reason after reason why he can't answer that call. And for every excuse he gives, God has an answer. The excuses that Moses gives and that we give all come down to the same thing. We're insecure. And the answer to those excuses, for Moses or for all of us, all comes down to one verse found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We can take comfort in that. Paul's story is inspirational because it shows us in no uncertain terms that no matter how broken or unusable we may think ourselves to be, God can and will still use us. It cannot be understated how much Saul was feared. If he wasn't the wickedest man on the planet at the time, he was certainly near the top. When Saul witnessed Stephen, who the Bible calls a man full of God's grace and power, being stoned to death, he didn't try to intervene. He watched. And not only did he watch, he gave his approval. He literally went from door to door, pulling followers of Christ, men and women, out of their homes and throwing them into prison. And just so we're clear about what prison was, it wasn't three hots and a cot. You were in chains. In some places, like the Mamertine prison in Rome, where Paul spent part of his 2 years there, prisoners were actually lowered through a hole in the floor into a dungeon below. If you were a prisoner, no matter how you got there, in chains or through the floor, you expected that you were going to die there. There were no meals served. If somebody that you knew on the outside didn't visit and bring you food, you starved. And that wasn't really seen as a problem, because by starving to death, you saved the city the cost and time of a trial, if you got one at all. So now you can understand why Saul's relentless persecution of Christians resulted in the apostles scattering throughout Judea and Samaria. We're talking about a handful of Christian leaders that were spread, covering an area a little more than 2,200 square miles in size. We read together earlier that Saul breathed threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He wanted to kill them all. And yet, amazingly, God still called him. God still used him. The implication being, of course, that he can and will call you and use you. But that's not really what this sermon is about. We know that God can use us, even in our brokenness. And if we've been going to church for any dedicated length of time, we've heard these examples before, that God has a call for us. What we're going to talk about tonight are the circumstances of that call and how they can change. But first, don't worry if you're not yet sure what your purpose is. For the first 80 years of his life, Moses wasn't even aware that he had a special purpose. God had to prepare him first. But before he could become Charlton Heston with that amazing long flowing hair and the greatest beard that any man ever wore, he had to go through a few things first. He had to escape the Pharaoh's decree that all male Hebrew boys would be killed. He had to become aware of the abuse that the Hebrews were enduring under the Egyptians, and he had to learn that that behavior, as normal as it was immoral. He had to decide at the age of 40 that he did not want to be a part of that abuse. And when he saw an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew slaves, Moses killed him and then fled to Midian, where he stayed for another 40-year period. Finally, when he was ready, God called Moses. We don't know when our call will come, but like Moses finding the burning bush, or like Saul, who was on his way to persecute Christians in Damascus, God can certainly let you know when he's ready. So don't stress about it. What you were in the past in your walk with Christ, or what you are right now, does not determine what you will be tomorrow. Here's where, for me, things get really interesting, because every day, every moment can bring a new opportunity for you and for the kingdom of Christ through you. Let me show you what I mean. Saul was called to proclaim the gospel. That was his primary call, to let the world know that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. But the circumstances of his call changed as the environment and events around him changed. At first, he taught in the synagogues, but when he heard that there was a plot to kill him, he escaped to Jerusalem, where he tried to join the disciples. And as you can imagine, they were all afraid of him. It took some mediation by Barnabas before they would even let Saul come near them. And this Barnabas, by the way, is not Barnabas the criminal, but this Barnabas was a Levite. He was one of the key missionaries of the early church. So after the disciples accepted Saul, for a while he preached around Jerusalem with them until another attempt was made on his life. And so he left for Caesarea and then for Tarsus. Over and over again, the man who was the most feared persecutor of early Christians found himself being persecuted against. As a result, his ministry took him into Cyprus and Asia Minor, where he planted as many as 14 churches in places such as Philippi and Ephesus. He was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. He was stoned in Iconium. He was imprisoned in Rome. And through it all, he preached to whoever he could. When he was chained to Roman centurions, he preached to them. When he was in prison, he wrote letters proclaiming the gospel to some of those churches he had helped to plant. His calling never changed, but the way in which his purpose was carried out varied wildly from moment to moment. And this brings us to the title of the sermon, which you, if you've read it, understandably might have thought was a mistake or a joke. And let me tell you, trying to explain the title to be determined tomorrow, to our poor administrative assistant, Polly, who creates the bulletin, it felt a bit like I was in an Abbott and Costello routine, because I had to explain to her that I would not actually be telling her the title of the sermon tomorrow, and that it was okay to print the bulletin with that title. I felt really bad for her. The point is this: Paul was a Christian. That's truly the calling, and that's the calling for all of us, to deny ourselves by taking up our cross and following Christ. But beyond that, what would Paul's title have been? It changed from day to day, from circumstance to circumstance. Was he an evangelist? A missionary? He was certainly those things, but at different times during his ministry, he was also an author, a prisoner, a refuge, a fugitive, a role model, a theologian, a zealot, and eventually a martyr. And he was all of those things for Christ. If we look at Moses' primary calling, we'd see the same thing. He was called to lead God's chosen people out of Egypt, but he was different things at different times while answering his call. The circumstances of his calling changed as the environment and events around him changed. So at different times, he was a prophet, a lawgiver, an author, a mediator, and a leader. If you could give yourself a title today, what would it be? Where would you be on the path of your call as a Christian? And please note that your call doesn't have to be as active as walking from town to town preaching the gospel. It may just be living out a Christian life in full view of others, influencing young people or other people around you without even realizing that you're doing it. A role model, a leader, a liturgist, a musician, a worship leader, a composer, a pastor. As we pause for our moment of silent reflection this evening, think about what title you give yourself right now. What title would you have had a year ago or 10 years ago? Are you in the same place now in your walk with Christ as you were when you took that first step with him? Where would you like your journey to be in the next year, in 5 years? What will your title be tomorrow? In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.